This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
I'm Martin Strong. Let's get right to the consumer news from the past week. Remember at the beginning of the pandemic, when all those flights and travel arrangements were being canceled? At that time, did the federal government do enough to protect consumers? One advocate says no, they did not, claiming that federal regulators misled airline passengers by encouraging travel credits rather than full refunds during those early days of COVID. Back then, the airlines canceled thousands of flights and, for the most part, offered company vouchers and gift certificates to customers instead of refunds. Air passenger rights advocacy group president Gabor Lukacs says that the government regulators showed bias by misinforming travelers about their legal right to a full cash refund. Meanwhile, the Vancouver International Airport is getting some recognition. YVR has just won the title of Best Airport in North America at an international award ceremony in Germany. The airport says it took the prize at the Skytrax World Airport Awards held in Frankfurt. It says it last won the title back in 2021, and CEO Tamara Vrooman says airport staff worked really hard to get back to the top spot after the aviation sector was hammered by the pandemic. A statement released by YVR says it's the only airport to be awarded the title 14 times. Gas prices have been climbing again, well over $2 a liter in most places. But if you ignore those higher gas prices, inflation was actually down slightly this past March. That's according to Statistics Canada. Mainly because of the price of gas, inflation in general was up 2.9% compared to the year before in March. And in February, that number was up 2.8%. So it's only a slight increase, even if you factor in the price of gas. And that's good news if you're hoping for an interest rate cut, because inflation seems to be cooling. It's looking more and more like the Bank of Canada will decide to start cutting rates as early as June, but we'll have to wait to see. And the robots are coming to the operating room at the Burnaby Hospital. The hospital and Fraser Health announced this week that their new robot-assisted surgery system will soon be up and running and will be the first in Western Canada. They say teams are now training on the Mako Robotic Arm Assisted. It's a $2.3 million addition to the hospital's Jim Pattison Surgery Center. The foundation says the robotic arm system will be used in hip and knee replacement procedures, and the hospital board says the system is a game changer for orthopedic surgeries, and there are about 1,000 performed at Burnaby Hospital every single year. Google has fired 28 employees who were involved in protests over its $1.2 billion cloud computing contract with the Israeli military. The workers held sit-ins at the company's offices in California and New York and were fired on Wednesday night, just a few hours after police swooped in and arrested 9 people. The group behind the protests says Google fired a lot of people who didn't directly participate. And they also dispute the company's claims that the protests were actually spearheaded by people who didn't work at Google. And especially now that the good weather has hit, Starbucks is selling a lot of cold drinks, iced coffees, frappuccinos, that sort of stuff. And that means, with those cold drinks, a lot of single-use plastic cups being thrown in the garbage. On Thursday, Starbucks announced they're hoping to alleviate some of that waste with new cups for the cold liquids, which will be sold here in Canada and the U.S. starting next month. These new cups will contain 20% less plastic. Starbucks now says that the cold drinks account for 75% of their sales these days, and they are committed to cutting their waste in half by the year 2030. Now think of the opening credits of the TV show Star Trek, and you see the spaceship, you know, the USS Enterprise gliding across the screen. Well, the model of the ship they used for that opening sequence disappeared way back in the 1970s, and everybody thought it was long gone. But no, it has finally been returned to the creator of Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry's son. The model caused a stir when it popped up on eBay last fall, and the sellers quickly took it down. And after Dallas-based Heritage Auctions authenticated it, they had the auction house reach out to Roddenberry. And Roddenberry says the model will be restored, and he hopes it will find a home in a museum somewhere. This is Vancouver Consumer. And do you have young kids? Maybe you're a new grandparent. If you would like to help those kids, set them up for a post-secondary education, my next guest will show you how you can do it now and give one of the greatest gifts you can give anybody, an education. That's when Vancouver Consumer continues right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Strong. And if you've got young kids, maybe you're a new grandparent, one of the greatest gifts that you can give is the gift of an education. And if you start now, it doesn't have to be crazy expensive. My guest right now is Andrew Lowe, the president and CEO of Embark. They are the experts in Canada when it comes to post-secondary education savings and planning. Andrew is the president and CEO of Embark. You can find them online at embark.ca. And Andrew is with us now. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing? Thank you for having me on the show.
Excellent. Excellent. I think probably a lot of people, especially, like I say, people with little kids, or maybe they're not so little anymore, or grandparents. And I mentioned grandparents because my father, before he died, when my kids were first born, he set up a plan for their education. And it was the greatest thing because not only did it pay for them to go to university, it also sort of created this vision to them because they knew that there would be money for them to go to university. And I think all through their lives, when they were little kids going to school, they had in their mind that they were going to go to a post-secondary institution. And it was a really, I think it was a really important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, you know, we've done prior surveys and we know that, you know, many students that are out there right now are looking for post-secondary education, but they are impeded and are worried, not because of their academic ability, but because of how much it costs, right? How much it costs to go to school. And at times, the financial stress during post-education can be a real distraction to education and being focused on academics, because we find students going out and getting part-time or full-time jobs to supplement their tuition. So a great plan, a savings plan that can be used so that, you know, high school students going into post-secondary, it could be a trade school, a college or university, they can just focus on the academics and not worry about the finances. And so it is a great program. And I've had an example. We had a co-op student last year who, you know, actually worked for Embark and was a beneficiary of an RESP. And she's going to be expected to exit university without any debt. And that's mm-hmm. going to make a big difference when you don't have to worry about paying back the loan. Because when you leave university, you can focus on finding a career, you're finding a job, maybe taking a little bit more risk because you don't have the burden of a debt. And it will make a huge difference in the future comfort and style of living that your child's going to have.
Yeah, and that is an incredible luxury to be able to leave school and not have debt. It's huge.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. So, and it's important. You mentioned something. It's not just, you know, liberal arts university. It's every type of post-secondary education. And I guess every single part of post-secondary education is getting more and more expensive all the time. And that's, I mean, imagine if you have little kids now, imagine what it's going to be like, how expensive it's going to be like. And I guess that's a real concern for most people.
Yeah, we at Embark spend a lot of time building a calculator on our website. It's called embark.ca. And so if you go there and go to the calculator, you can put in how old your kid is now. Maybe it's one, maybe it's 10. And because of the data that we carry, we can share with you what we predict to be the cost of university is going to be looking like. So if your kid was born, let's say this month, And 18 years from now, a university education for a four-year degree is going to be looking like about $1,000, not including going away, requiring residence or dorm or field or food, because you're living farther away from home and that you can't commute every day. Like maybe it's another province, maybe the university is 3 hours away. And so, and if you have to pay for residence, it's going to approach six figure by the term your child turns 18. So really important to start saving. Every little bit's going to help, and you don't have to have a big amount of money in order to afford opening a plan for an RESP. So, you know, we use this calculator so the parents can plan. So they know their university is going to be $40,000. How much do they need to start saving today, per month, per week, in order to get there? And it will tell you, the calculator will tell you, you know, tens of dollars per month from each parent will help you get to that figure in 18 years from now, but you have to start as early as possible.
Yeah, it's all about the miracle of compound interest and all that stuff. And I think a lot of people know how an RESP works, but just in case someone listening isn't 100% sure about how an RESP works, just briefly explain that to us.
Yeah, so RESP means Registered Education Savings Plan. Registered meaning that it's registered with the government. So when you deposit money into an RESP plan and you need one key piece of information in order to be registered, and that is a SIN number. So, you know, when your child's born, don't forget to go out and get their SIN number so you can get started on a plan. And the reason why that's needed is because the money you contribute, and when it grows, when the compound interest happens, as you mentioned, the earnings on the contribution could be tax sheltered, meaning you don't have to pay tax. You don't have to pay income tax on those earnings until you withdraw, like 18 years from now, right? And so, and even then, there's ways that we could help reduce the amount of tax burden on a withdrawal. But what's important is that for the 18 years, it's going to grow and you don't have to pay tax on that. In addition, when you register the plan, the government will top up 20% more of your contributions. So if you put in $100, that will end up being $120. So that 20%, wow, like go find a GIC that's going to yield that kind of return, right away. So it's really worth it. They will contribute 20% up to a maximum of $500 every year. So if you're contributing $2,500, you'll get an extra $500 from the government. Just like that, and you can call it free money. It's going to grow, you know, tax-free for the 18 years and so on. And so that is a registered education savings plan, registered with the government to provide some tax sheltering. And when the government's aware of your child and your deposits, then they contribute the 20%. So we're electronic. We're connected to the government. When you put in your deposits, we tell them, here's the plan, here's the money, and then they'll send us their contribution to your RESP. And we have a lot of technology that tracks all this. We send the parents an email saying, oh, your government grant has arrived. And so then they can track the growth of their money for their kids.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Andrew Lowe, who's the president and CEO of Embark. And you can find them online at embark.ca. They are the experts when it comes to post-secondary education savings and planning, and they can help you put a plan in place that down the road will put your child, maybe your grandchild, through post-secondary education, which is the greatest gift there is. So what's the process for people? Maybe they're listening and they have a really young child, or maybe they're, like I say, a grandparent. What's the process? They go to embark.ca, and kind of what are some of the first questions you have, and how do you get people set up?
Yeah, it's actually very, very simple and doesn't require a lot of time. So going to embark.ca, you have a couple of choices. One is you could set up an account and get that registered all yourself, right? By answering, you know, all the questions. The key piece of information we need is a SIN number, right? Your child's name and so on. You can directly link your bank account to your bank so that you can start automatic contributions. And you can change those contributions at any time. So you can start with $5, $10 a month. And, you know, As you get a promotion, as you further along in your career, you're going to accumulate more wealth. You may be able to afford more, and you can increase it over time. All this time, we're going to keep tracking how you're doing relative to your plan, right? Your plan is to have your child go to university, and from this point, a four-year degree is going to be $40,000. So we'll help you track to see that you meet the goal. The other way of doing it is you can just make an appointment with one of our licensed advisors, and we can just do the hard work for you. Right. So you can book an appointment right online when you go to embark.ca, click start saving. They'll give you the two options. Go do it yourself or talk to an advisor and make an appointment, and we can do it at your convenience and get all the information and get it started. So we have a concierge service, so to say, to do it for the parents. So it's as simple as that. It's a very flexible plan where you can change the contribution. You can start as high or low as you want. You can do a one time and so on and so forth. And grandparents can be involved too. They can also set up an account on behalf of, their grandkids. I'm an uncle as well. I have a plan for my two nieces, right? And so I set it up for them, and uncles could also contribute to RESTs. And I encourage the family members, it's great to get presents at Christmas time and birthdays, but it's also like the way you framed it, I really like the gift of education. Put money directly into the REST as the birthday present or as part of the birthday present. It's a great gift.
Yeah, it's a great thing because you're also sort of sending kind of a message to the child. Like, say they're in grade five, you're sort of setting them up to envision life after high school and what post-secondary education would be like. And it's almost like an affirmation that they will go on and get some post-secondary education. So it's kind of a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely correct. And we want to, we've made some, product enhancements recently on our website to kind of encourage this behavior of asking questions. If a parent puts it in, or more important, like if a grandparent or aunt or uncle puts money in, and they leave in a card that we left money in your RESP, they're gonna ask, well, what does that mean? What does that mean exactly? And so we have a very user-friendly website that can explain it, and we even have a bit of a game on our website where you can sit down next to a child and say, oh, what would you like to be when you grow up? And if you say engineer or accountant, it'll walk you through getting a match to a university or post-secondary educational institution nearby where they are, and then tell them what kind of career they can have, or what is their future salary could look like, or what kind of grades do I need, or what courses I have to take in high school in order to get into an accountant program at a university in Ontario or in BC, for example, right? And so
yeah.
We have some of these tools that will, help the parents engage in this process of understanding post-secondary education when they get this amount of money. Well, what can I do with it? And we have some tools to help them with that part of education. And you're right. It's a journey. The gift of education, and when the kids ask questions, you can respond and start, grooming the idea of how to get a better life, greater career, because you're better educated.
I love that. Embark.ca is the website. Andrew Lowe is our guest, president and CEO of Embark. And we'll be back with more ideas on how you can fund your child's education when we come back right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. It's Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong, and we're talking about your child's education, maybe your grandkids' education, with president and CEO of Embark, Andrew Lowe. You can find them online, embark.ca. They are the experts in Canada when it comes to post-secondary education, savings, and planning, and they can help you get a plan into place, and the earlier, the better. And I think we should reiterate, we were talking about how RESPs, registered education savings plans are a big part of this because the government is actually kicking in some money. So let's reiterate about the grants and how you can take advantage of this government money to fund your child's education.
Yeah, that's a great point, and it's a very important one. We've done a lot of studies, and less than half of eligible Canadians are participating in the RESP, right? Which means half eligible Canadians are missing out in free money. When you register a plan with a child and a SIN number, and you register it with the government, not only does the money that you put in for education savings can grow, also the government will put in 20% of your contribution up to a maximum of $500 $500 a year. And when you multiply that by 18, it becomes, over $7,000 of government contributions. And the earlier you start that, the more that it has the opportunity to grow. That could grow into that amount of money in addition to your contribution to being able to pay, if properly planned, your kid's entire post-secondary education, they can exit debt-free, right? So the grants are 20%. Let me give you an example of how we calculate that. Let's say this year you're going to contribute $100, right? $100. Mm-hmm. We report that $100 contribution to the government, and they will give you 20% as the government grant, right? Up to a maximum of $500 a year. So you will get $120. So, where can you find a kind of like an investment where it returns 20%, just like that, right? And so there's, not a guaranteed investment certificate, et cetera, but, like this program could really help you save enough money. And so in order to max out on grants every year, contributing $2,500 will yield 20% will equal $500 in government contribution every year. So this is an opportunity that should be missed. And yeah, not everyone can afford $2,500 a year, but let's start with something, because the first 100 will give you back the 20% as well. And so I always say, if you start early, that's the good news. If you can't do as much, then you can work your way up, but at least you got a plan registered with the government. And so when you do have the spare dollars, you can put it in. So we have I've done a calculation recently, for kids that are just born and they have 18 years before they have to go to post-secondary. And we have a calculator on embark.ca. You can go on there and say, well, I want my kids to have 4-year university degree. Well, that's going to cost approximately $40,000, right? So we have the data that gives that prediction. Well, how much do you need to save in order to get to that $40,000? We have a calculator that shows that, a few dollars, kind of like a week, a month, kind of almost equivalent to coffee from each parent could potentially get you to that $40,000 in savings in 18 years, because you have the art of compounding interest. The money gets invested so that it grows, and it's going to grow faster than the rate of inflation, or the target rate of inflation, which is 2%, because you need to grow that in order for the future of money to be worth anything. It has to grow faster than inflation. So the earlier you start getting into these investment vehicles, the government grants, you have a very good chance of skillfully being able to save enough money without, even compromising your lifestyle and getting your kid an education.
Yeah, it's such a sort of a stark contrast, like a few dollars now every month versus a very large chunk of change as a lump sum later on. So I guess it's definitely something to think about if you go to embark.ca, and they will set up a plan for you. And so what about fees? How does that work? What kind of fees are we looking at?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And this is a good way to clarify that from a technical perspective. First of all, when you enroll in Embark, there is no enrollment fee. So you can sign up, get a plan registered, and you have no money in there. There is no fee, right? Mm-hmm. We do have a management expense fee that we do charge, and it equals to 1.65%. So that is, for every $100, $1.65. So, but we also, for that fee, we have 200 or plus employees to make sure our digital platform is up and running and working and helping you calculate and plan, that our relationships and connections with the government's working to pull the grants down, and that we make sure like you get all the grants for all your contributions without the consumer, the subscriber, completing one form, right? Like minimal paperwork. So when you put that $100, it automatically does all of this stuff. And because, you know, we do a lot of hard work with our 200 employees to do that work. And the management fee for managing the money and helping it to grow and to getting the grants is essentially $1.65 for every $100, right? And so that pales in comparison to the 20% you will get from the government. So there's a little bit of a fee. It's only because, you know, we employ people to help our subscribers and consumers to plan the calculators, the online website, and so on. And, you know, and maybe another topic we can touch on in addition to the fees is withdrawing the money, right? Mm-hmm. Withdrawing the money. So what about when you're 18, how do I withdraw the money? So on our digital platform, you can upload the enrollment and that enrollment fee, the enrollment form from the university, college, or trade school, and that kicks off the withdrawal process. And so we're very careful to withdraw the money because it can be complicated. And the way we withdraw the money is we make sure we record your contributions and we tag the differences between the type of contributions you make. So let's say you put in the $100. So that's your money. Then the government grant is 20%. There's an extra $20 there. So we make sure like we know which portion of that money is government grant. Then there's the government grant growing in the investment and then your money growing in the investment. So when we withdraw, we make sure we do it in the right order. We withdraw the government grants portion first before we touch the portions that the actual parents actually put in. And the reason we do it this way is because let's say your child goes to school and they don't need the entire savings, right? So if we use the government grants first, then I'm maximizing the amount of money I can return back to a parent because they didn't need it for education and they can invest it somewhere else. So this is another service that that's incorporated in that management fee and managing the money because it is very difficult for a family to track this on their own, right? And so we make sure like we pull the government grants first because let's say you don't use all of the money that the government grant portion that gets unused has to go back to the federal government. So you want to make sure you use that grant first before you use your own money because I can return your own money back to you.
Right, right. And so what about if somebody invests the money and the child doesn't end up going to a post-secondary institution? Is it you still have the main equity in there, you just don't get the government grants?
Yeah, that's correct. But you can keep the plan going until they're 35. Right, wow. You just won't get you won't get any government grants, but you can keep the plan active till 35. Because maybe you know they work for 5 years and then they go to school, then they have the money available. But that's a decision for you know the family and the kids. You know, depending on the circumstance. But you can you don't get the government grant back, but you can get back your contributions. And we also have advisors that you know, if you withdraw it in that way, like how do you best, you know, tax shelter to some of the income that came out of that as well? Because there's other, if you want to pull out your contributions, going into a TFSA or an RSP could also help with that. And our advisors can help with making the right choices there.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, the magic is starting early when the kid is young. But what about people listening and maybe their children are a little bit older? Maybe they're not just about to graduate from high school, but they're you know midway through or something. What do you say to them?
Yeah, I say it's never too late. We certainly have a good cohort that is in the 10-year-old preteen age, and you know you can get started. I mean, you can still get the grants. You can still contribute. Any amount that you want, you know, the maximum grant size is if you contribute $2,500, then you can get the $500. So, going for that. But there's a bit of catch up, but there's never too late. I'd rather have, you know, a few thousand for the post-secondary education to ease the load, right? Instead of coming up with the full 40 at the end. So never too late in any respect to save and to take advantage of free money from the government. And you know, don't be, and I encourage people not to be intimidated. You know, it's you know, lots of people, sign up, midway through their child growth and so on. And so you're not alone, but I just encourage everyone to go do it as early as possible. It's never too late. It's never too late to save money. And you know, get your child ahead when they're finished school.
Yeah. And it may feel like it's kind of late now, but by the time they get to high school, it will feel like ancient history and you'll be glad you did. So I recommend people go to embark.ca, embark.ca. And you can talk to one of the many professionals there, like President and CEO Andrew Lowe, and you can get to know everything you need to know. Embark.ca. Well, Andrew, thank you so much, and I wish you the best of luck.
All right, take care. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's Vancouver Consumer. Coming up, it's the biggest gold heist in Canadian history. More than $20 million worth of gold and cash stolen from Toronto's Pearson Airport last year. And this week, cops announced where they're at in their investigation and whether or not they're any closer to getting any of that loot back. I've got that story when Vancouver Consumer continues right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Strong, and the story of that gold heist that happened a year ago at Toronto's Pearson Airport just gets more and more interesting. It was actually the largest gold theft in Canadian history, over $20 million worth of gold and cash. And police in Ontario revealed this past Wednesday that the suspects include two guys who worked for Air Canada. Police say one of those men actually led a tour of the cargo facility for police when they were investigating after the theft, before they figured out that he might have been involved in the whole thing. Police talked to reporters this past Wednesday about the case, and Sergeant Mike Mavity said that the theft involved 6,600 gold bars valued at around $20 million and $2.5 million in cash. Police say they have only recovered about $89,000 worth of the gold. The gold and the cash had been ordered from a refinery in Zurich, Switzerland, and then transported in a container through an Air Canada flight that landed in Toronto. That flight landed just before 4 o'clock in the afternoon of April 17th last year. 2.5 hours later, all this stuff was offloaded from the plane to an Air Canada cargo facility. So how did they get the stuff? Did they need to wave around a gun? No. Someone arrived at the facility with an airway bill. It's like a receipt. And he gave it to the attendant. The airway bill was a fraud. It was actually a doctored version of a receipt for a legitimate shipment of seafood that had been picked up there the day before. But amazingly, it worked. And soon a forklift arrived with the gold and the cash, and they loaded it onto the back of a truck, and the truck drove off. Then around 9:30 that night, Brinks Canada employees showed up to pick up the shipment as scheduled, and that's when they figured it all out. Oops. Brinks has filed a lawsuit against Air Canada over the stolen cargo. They have some video of the truck driving off, but it went into a rural area, and that's the last they saw of it. As the investigation continued, 37 search warrants were issued. Thanks to those, police found about $430,000 in Canadian cash. Cops figure a lot of that cash was from the profits that some of the suspects made when they sold the gold. As for the gold, most of it is still missing. Police did find 6 crudely made gold bracelets. They were found to be made of pure gold and worth about $89,000. but a far cry from the 20 million or so worth of gold that was taken. They also found smelting pots, casts, and molds. And cops say that's a typical way that gold bars are changed into jewelry or other things so they can be trafficked a little bit easier. 9 people have been arrested, charged, or have Canada-wide warrants issued. Of those charged include a 54-year-old Air Canada employee and a 37-year-old man from Toronto who owns a jewelry store. They're still looking for a 31-year-old man who was working for Air Canada at the time of the theft. The guy who allegedly drove the truck that picked up all the gold was stopped while driving a rental vehicle in Pennsylvania last September. Inside that car, he had a bunch of guns. He tried to run away from the cops on foot, but they caught and arrested him. Police figure those guns were destined to cross the border into Canada. So he's now facing gun-running charges in the U.S., but the American authorities are cooperating with Ontario police as they try to wrap up this airport heist and try to recover at least some of that $20 million or so worth of gold. This is Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong. We're here 2 o'clock every Saturday afternoon. Thanks in big part to our producer, Jonathan Chung. Thank you, Jono. We'll see you next week.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.